since I love worship just a little bit, if you'd help me. Falling in love with Jesus, yes I am. Falling in love with Jesus, I'm falling in love with Jesus, and it's the best thing I've ever done.
Is that your testimony this morning? Come on, let's say it.
I'm falling in love with Jesus. Yes, I am falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus. And it's the best thing I've ever done.
But this is what I love.
Set in his arms, I feel protected.
Is that your testimony this morning?
Set in his arms, I'm never neglected. Said in his arms, I feel. And there is no place.
I wish I had a couple of witnesses this morning. Come on, don't fool me this morning.
Oh, said falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus. The best thing.
Just keep it there. Is that the best decision you ever made? Come on, don't fool me this morning.
Best thing.
I've considered people, but people will be fickle with you.
It's the best thing I've ever done.
Hallelujah. God, we bless you. We adore you. We magnify you. We give your name glory. Now, God, we ask that you do it again. And we'll be grateful as to give your name all praise, all honor, and all glory. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Now, if you love the Lord this morning, would you begin to bless the name of the Lord? Come on, don't be cute this morning. You've made it all the way from last Sunday. God has done some remarkable things. Can I give you one reason to bless the name of the Lord? He woke you up this morning. Can I give you reason number two? He woke you up this morning. Can I give you another reason? He woke you up this morning. If you know him like I know him, I believe you ought to bless the name of the Lord. It had not been for the Lord on my side. Woo! All right. We bless God. We bless God. We are grateful. I'm grateful in the absence of our dear pastor, the under shepherd of this great house. We bless God for Dr. Armstrong, even in his absence, that God will keep him, God will cover him with such an auspicious occasion and opportunity, God, that he would give. We're grateful for him. We're grateful for the deacons and the deaconess, the trustees, and then those ministers, those who share on this platform the gospel. And then for the most important individuals, you all. Would you just bless God that you're here? Amen. Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. Turn with me to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. And listen, I am from the South, so I'm a little country boy. Y'all got to speak back to me. Right. Say amen when you can. All right. I still hear pages. That's in the New Testament.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Amen. This might be some of y'all first Bible study. Amen. Okay. Laughter is good for the soul, isn't it? And I'm going to just read one verse in your hearing. That's verse number 10. John chapter number 2, verse number 10. And it reads as thus, and he said to him, every man serves the good wine first. Somebody say first. And when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you've kept the good wine. Somebody say good wine. Until now. Word of God for the people of God. Take your seats in this place. I don't read a whole lot of scripture. Would you look to your neighbor by helping me as I take a tag to this particular text? Say, neighbor, he saw the best in me. Look to your other neighbor. Say, neighbor, he saw the best in me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reminded of a particular individual that was born September 23rd, 1930. And this particular individual was born to an individual by the name of Bailey Robinson and Arthel Williams. And he was born because he was a particular tag of infidel. And so his mother ran from Greenville, Florida, back to Georgia, that he may be weaned and born by his family. And what literally happened when he became a young lad, she came back to Greenville, Florida. And in the midst of that, this young lad developed a unique love for music. He began playing the first instrument called the piano. And in this particular love for music, there are some tragic events that hit his life. First of all, his four-year-old brother dies. Secondly, his father leaves. Thirdly, he begins to lose his eyesight at the age of 4 and then completely blind at the age of 7. Y'all don't even know when to shout. Watch this. First tragic is that he loses his brother at the tender age of 4. Second thing happens is that his father walks out. Third thing is that the tragic event is he begins to lose his sight at the tender age of 4 and completely gone at 7. God, y'all ain't got it. Let me say it one more time. First of all is that he loses his brother at the tender age of 4. The next thing is that his father walks out on him. I know that's somebody's testimony this morning. And then the third thing is that he begins to lose his sight at the tender age of 4 and completely gone at 7. Watch this. Here's the twist, y'all. Is that he literally does not stop his love for music. He continues and becomes one of the unique and most notable voices today. If you don't know who I'm talking about none other than Ray Charles Robinson, who literally God used even despite his handicaps. Can you just look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God literally gives me a holy hookup even with my handicaps? So as we take a tag to the attention of the text is that it's not just Ray Charles's problem or Ray Charles's story. We find it here in John chapter number 2. What is so interesting about God and particularly about John, this writer John, John simply says, I'm going to be a little different than those of my brothers of the Synoptic Gospels. I'm not just letting you know that Jesus is 100% man, but he's also 100% God. And that's hard for us to fathom, but John says there are some unique particulars about God that makes God God. And what is unique about him is that Jesus didn't just show up on the scene. He's already been there. You want me to prove it to you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by God, not anything made that was made. He's talking about Jesus. It's interesting because why he said, let us make man in our image. He here is wrapped up in flesh. And so what is unique about Jesus is Jesus is the way. Jesus is the water. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the only way. And so he says, John says, there are some unique qualities about Jesus. And what is so unique about this Jesus is that not only is he the right hand of the Father, but he's relatable and reliable. You want me to prove it to you? But the Bible says weeping does endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But it does not come without the aid of the Savior. So you can touch this Jesus. This Jesus is not untouched with the uncommon needs of reality. This Jesus does not sit with you in the late night hour. This Jesus does not just have power, but this Jesus will also help you through whatever you're going through. Is there anybody that knows the name of Jesus? We are not sure. Some scholars suggest that this particularly was not just John, the beloved brother of Jesus, but perhaps this was John, a disciple of John, much like Mark was, who summarized Peter's preaching in his particular text. But it may have been written somewhere between 90 or 100 AD. We're not particularly sure, but the particular nexus is it's about Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Yeah, yeah.
And isn't that what we come to celebrate this first Sunday? It's not the fact that he was just born, not the fact that he just lived, but the fact that he died and got up again. I wish that was somebody's testimony, that no matter where you are in life, that the power of it is, God has power to resurrect dead stuff. All right. So here, John chapter number 2, he's at a wedding in Cana. And on this wedding in Cana, Jesus loves to celebrate. I know, that's going to be hard for a lot of us saints because we can't imagine Jesus being at a party. We can't imagine Jesus celebrating. And not only that, his first miracle is turning water into wine. I just messed half of y'all up. Let me say it one more time. Jesus loves to celebrate. So sometimes it's difficult, particularly for us stuck up and stingy saints who don't like to praise the Lord and look like we've been sucking on lemons all of our life. But if you know Jesus like I know Jesus, God's done too much for me to sit down on it. So every now and then, when I get to the house of worship, I wish I had some help. Yep, y'all sit down. We just jaywalking for electric slide. Watch this. What I need you to understand is that here, as he's at this wedding in Cana, he's celebrating. And while he's celebrating, watch this. The text is very clear at who they invite at this wedding. They invite Jesus' mother, Mary. They invite Jesus and the disciples. Now, for those prognosticators of the gospel, this is very clear. When the text says something, that means it's important. And you've got to look into it. You've got to do some text evaluation and investigation as to suggest what happened and why is this so important. First thing text teach us is that you got to have the importance of the invite. Everybody you can't invite to your party. Just hang on, let me just say something again. You can't invite everybody to your party. You can't invite everybody to your level of success. First of all, everybody ain't there to celebrate you. Y'all acting like y'all don't know how to praise the Lord. First of all, it is very true. And what is significant about that is that everybody can't handle your level of success. You sitting there telling people what you're doing and how God is moving in your life, and they telling you how God ain't did nothing for them since last year. Every now and then, that means you have to shift and change your circle. If folk can't celebrate with you with where you going, then you ought to look down your road, do a pew check. Can you handle what God is getting ready to do for me? Can you handle where God's getting ready to take? Can you celebrate with me?
Yeah.
So, really, you've got to be at a point where folk can handle your level of success. You can't invite everybody to your party. Everybody can't handle your mantle. Everybody can't handle your promotion. Everybody can't handle new things in your life. And here it is. The truth of the matter is that most of us can't celebrate because we're still dealing with some old stuff. And I'm trying to free somebody this morning, that so when you get your new boo, you won't be still stuck on your last boo. I wish I had some help. I freed about 30 of y'all. That's for free. Now watch this. Is that when you shift and move from the text, not only is the importance of who it is they invite to the wedding, watch this, is that Jesus' mother comes to her and says, Jesus, we ain't got no more wine. Now, most of us got a problem with this text because we think Jesus is sassing off. Here's what Jesus says, woman, what have thou to do with me? Y'all don't like that language. Let me bring it to modern day. Why are you asking me? I have nothing to do with that, Mary, mother. And then he gets to the place. Well, watch this. He says, my hour has not yet come. God, y'all just missed the whole importance of the text. That's where you shout right here. That's really the shout cue. Prayer, that's really where it is. It's the fact that it's not necessarily what he says to his mother. It's the finishing line. He says, my hour has not yet come. God, y'all still don't know when to shout. Let me hit it to you one more time. It's not so much that Jesus ain't gonna fix the situation. He says, my hour has not yet come. I get it. I know why y'all can't shout. Because he may not come when you want him to, but he's all. I wish I had somebody in here. So the dynamic is, it's not that Jesus is not going to fix it. He just does not do it when you want him to do it. And matter of fact, you don't want him to do it when you want him to do it, because we've messed up some blessings, truth be told. We've jacked up some stuff that God has tried to give us. We tore some stuff when God wanted to put it in our hands. And the truth be told, the first enemy that we have is ourselves. When you look back over your life, it's not people that messed up some stuff. You messed up some stuff. But the grace... the grace of God has literally covered you. And that's why we can't judge folk. That's why we can't look at them funny, because God has covered some of our evidence. Whew, y'all just missed that. Let me rewind, Robert. God has literally covered some stuff that when if it was uncovered, you wouldn't know what to do. You'd be shamed. But God has covered you in some stuff. God has kept you from some stuff. God has covered you from some Negroes. You ought to be able to bless the name of the Lord, because I'm coming around the mountain. Here I come. And so you got to be at the point where literally maximizing the moment, which literally says that Jesus ain't gonna never do it this way again. Come here, I used to be slow too. Come here, let me come get you. In other words, when you come to worship, that's your moment to give God your all, because you never know what's going to happen in that moment. You never know how God is going to move. You never know when God is getting ready to show up and do something in your life. That's why you ought not be cheap on your praise. I wish I had 15 Negroes in here who can just bless God on credit. Don't wait till the battle is over. Go ahead and shout.
All right.
So here, what is we're maximizing the moment and understanding that God may not ever do it that way again. We've got to be clear that when we come, we don't come looking at Sue, Sally, and the rest of them. You don't let Pookie hinder your praise. Don't you let them stop you when they're looking at you funny. It don't take all that. Don't take all that for you. But when I think of the joy of the Lord, when I think of how he saved me, when I think of how he pulled me out, when I think of how he kept my mind, I should have been crazy, but God.
Sit down, y'all making me nervous.
We move from understanding that we are maximizing our moment each time we open our mouth, each time we're at a place of surrendering, as that God is getting ready to do something unique, spectacular, and phenomenal in our lives. We don't let nobody cheat our praise, because we understand it's not about them. But if you understood how God has kept me some nights, how God has literally kept me when my tears were my only food, when nobody else knew my struggle, when my chains were strange and my money was funny, when they walked out on me and told me and left me for dead, I wish I had some folk.
So here in this particular place where we're maximizing the moment, the text shifts then when he says, my hour has not yet come. Watch this. Mary is not like the regular church folk who get mad at the pastor when they don't do what they want him to do. Here's literally what she does. She says whatever he tells y'all to do. She don't go sassing off. She don't start rumors. She don't get upset. She don't get a whole bunch of people who don't like them and start a joint board that ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in the church, trying to cut and undergird division, trying to start division in the house. She don't do none of that. What she simply says is whatever he tells y'all to do. I wish I had some saints who were confident enough that even when it does not do what I wanted to do, even when it does not go the way I wanted to, you're confident enough to know that it's not a reflection of me. You don't take. Just don't take it personal. Look down your road, say, neighbor, don't take it personal. It ain't about you, boo. Don't you take it personal. It ain't about your agenda. Don't you take it personal.
Mary, simply says that what's the little truth is that I'm not even concerned with how he said and what he said. I'm concerned with what he's getting ready to do. And every now and then you ought to join and get on board with how God is moving. You don't want to be in the way of this freight train when God is moving, because he can move with or without. So here is that he says, my hour has not yet come. But then there's another move, is that when he gets to this place, it's something that Jesus uses. There are 6 water jar pots. Can I give you a little background about these 6 water jar pots? Text tells them it's for Jewish purification, but they don't really say. The scholars suggest that may have been it's for hygienic purpose, but can I tell you that they would have them outside of the commoners' houses, and literally when journeyers or travelers would stop through, they would literally wash themselves off their clothes and their shoes, and whatever was on their feet, the dirt and dung off their feet, they would literally dip and use the water, and when they were done, they would throw the water out and discard the water jar pots. God, y'all don't even understand what's getting ready to happen. It's that Jesus takes an element that has been used. Jesus takes an element that has been discarded. Jesus takes an element that has been dirty. Jesus takes an element that has been thrown out and uses it. Come here, let me come get you. In other words, I know you've been thrown out. I know you've been looked over. I know you've been called trash. I know they said some stuff about you, but Jesus uses dirty things. He uses these six water jar pots. He takes something that has been damaged. Can you look down your road and say, neighbor, although I've been damaged, I'm still good. Oh yeah, that's the truth about it, is that there are some things in our lives that have caused us to be damaged. There's some things in our life that have given us some scars. But can you just tell the enemy and every Negro that left you in your life, I'm still here. The devil should have killed you when he had a chance. But you're looking at a miracle. There's some stuff that happened to you that God literally has kept you. Not yet, son. Don't kill me. So, first thing, or third thing Texas Tech teaches is that you've got to be empty in order to be evicted. In other words, before God literally issues a warrant to put your name out there and make you great, he's got to empty you. And I know that when you hear the term eviction, it's normally labeled as a negative term. But can I tell you that God has to literally push us out sometimes. And so God will literally cut some strings from some individuals. God will literally put you in a season where you're literally anonymous, where everybody can't put their hands on you. Come here, watch this. In other words, God literally does not want his precious gift to be touched by anybody. That's why you can't be hooked up with some folk. That's why you can't go to certain places. That's why you can't let everybody talk in your ear, because God won't let it happen. God's got great. Yeah, I get it. I understand. You can't shout because you think they hold the ticket to whether you go to heaven or hell. Can I simply tell you this? That if truth be told, had it not been for the scars, had it not been for the crying, had it not been for you being sick, you wouldn't have known God like you know God today. And so the shout is, had it not been for the Lord keeping me when I was sick, had it not been for the Lord keeping me when you walked out, had it not been for the Lord keeping my mind. I'm almost out of here. And so not only does he do that, here's what happens. It's literally, I'm reminded of this prayer, is that we have a mentor in coming. And that what is unique about this is that this mentor talks about the scratch in the dent store. And in the scratch in the dent store, it's so famous for what it's known for, is that it's always full. And so the unique history was, or the secret was, why is this store always full? It's the scratch in dent store. Here's the secret. Come here, y'all ready? The secret is, a scratch lawnmower can still cut grass. A messed up chair you can still sit in. In other words, I've been used, but I'm still able to be used. I wish I had some individuals who can celebrate about this. Yes, I've been looked over. Yes, some things have happened in my life, but I'm still good. Oh, watch this. Here's another one. Here's that before we heard about this player in high school, Nike gave him a $30 million contract. And in this $30 million contract, what was so unique about this individual is that he had never played in the NBA game. He had never shot an NBA ball. He had never dribbled on the NBA court. But Nike invested a $30 million contract in somebody who had never played in the NBA game. In other words, come here, let me get you. Now, he's not my favorite player, but he's a gifted player. LeBron James has been invested $30 million who had never played in an NBA game. In other words, God has something greater than $30 million that he's invested in you. And although you ain't been in the game, although you ain't played on the court yet, although you've not amassed yet, God's got great. You still can be used. And then watch this. When we get closer, here's what happened. Jesus takes these discarded things that have been used, and he says, fill them with water. Prayer, we're preachers. We like minutia information. And so I don't partake of the spirits, but I was just in the grocery store, Eric, and I like minutia information. And in minutia information, I just stopped down the wine aisle. And when I look down the wine aisle, I start looking on the back of the greenest. Don't y'all look at me like y'all super saved. Watch this. Y'all take the brakes off me this morning. And so when I looked at this particular bottle, I found out that wine is made of 100% water. Jesus takes this discarded water jar pots and fills the brim with water. Wine is made with 100% water. God, y'all still ain't got it. Here it is. I used to hate Sundays when preachers and deacons used to come over our house. No offense. Because we always had a whole lot of dishes to wash and they always ate first. And what I love one particular Sunday is that I found out that we didn't have any dish detergent in dishwash, and so I wasn't gonna have to wash damn dish that night. Now, some of y'all ain't Southern, but some of y'all Southern who'll get this. Mama said, oh no, here's what you do. Twist the cap off of the dish detergent. Pour some water in the dish detergent. Put the top back on the dish detergent and shake up the dish detergent. You gonna feast these dishes this morning. And watch this. The dish detergent we use in our house was called Joy. In other words, God's literally getting ready to refill you with joy you've never had before. And what he's literally doing is giving you the water, the refreshing water to shake you up. Is there any believers this morning who can bless the name of the Lord? I've been empty. I've had some jacked up stuff in me, but God has literally emptied me out. He's kept my mind. Grace has filled me. And now he's giving me an overflow of joy. Tell your neighbor, say joy. Unspeakable joy. Joy. Living joy. Joy. I wish I had somebody in here who can celebrate about joy. Point, I gotta get out of here. And he gets to this place and he says, now here, give it to the steward. Now most seminarians miss this because they all shout and say Jesus turned water into wine before it got to the steward. It didn't change till it got to his lips. Jesus ain't going to serve you to ask anybody. First of all, he uses particular candidates in order to carry you to the head. He don't give the wine to anybody else. He gives it to the head steward, the chieftain of the party. And that's when the water becomes wine. In other words, God's literally getting ready to set you up where you're going to bump into CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. God's getting ready to direct your path to where you're not dealing with peons, but you're going to deal with the big people. Is there anybody that can celebrate about that? Because you're tired of dealing with low-coming Negroes. You're tired of dealing with individuals that don't have vision. You're tired of dealing with folk that can't just celebrate with you. Is there anybody that can celebrate about that God's getting ready to put me in a place with individuals who's going to bless my name? He's getting ready to spread my name abroad. He's getting ready to put me in a place where kings and queens shall celebrate me. Is that your testimony this morning? High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. I'm gone, y'all. And from the water he lifted me. Now save her. Now save her. Now stay. Yeah.